It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And if I pot up her microphone, like I'm going to do right now, we'll say hello to Cynthia Hauswinder. Hi, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Nice to see you here.
You too.
And we have Janet Manko on the telephone.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How is everybody?
We are...
Here's Ann
Ducky. I think, is that Ann walking in? Yeah. Did she shut the door?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the arrival.
Live and in person.
I'll quickly say we don't have the clock in here.
It's not in here? Oh, no.
No, we'll just have to...
Don't worry.
Signal us.
I'll signal you guys. You know, and if the signal doesn't work, I'll yell.
Okay.
Is the door shut? I'll just check.
No, it's on 0000, so you can't do anything with it, Joe.
No, yeah. Check the door.
Yeah. Oh, we'll wing it.
So here we go. We'll start off right at the top in a meeting that we covered, but because we wanted to let people talk without being constrained, parents voiced concerns about the Region 1 system, and this parent organization is 200 people strong now.
Yeah. Denise Cohen and Lynn Harrington, who are from Falls Village in Kent, put out a survey, excuse me, on Facebook and some other places, and kind of reaffirming what we already knew, which is that parents in the community are very unhappy with what's happening in the leadership of Region 1. And I would say there's always a little bit of pushback on the region, but I feel like maybe this is more universal than some of the past concerns that we've had. So very specific questions about what they're not liking and what they feel uncomfortable with. And again, it's not stuff that we haven't really heard before, but a really pretty strong statement of, like, there's a lot of us and we all feel uncomfortable with us. And, you know, certainly a few people who are saying, actually, it's not bothering me. So you get a good balance in there. It's not just people who are predisposed in a certain direction. But I would say it's meaningful.
But the interesting thing about that meeting was our Region 1 chair was there with a member of CABE. And the member of CABE gets paid for coming out. Mm. And then they left. Yeah. They left halfway through the meeting. That if CABE was paid, it was that's a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
Yeah.
It really was. But anyway, so that you've got a great story here about everything that's on the table as far as these parents are concerned.
Yes, very good story by Patrick Solomon. Definitely worth reading.
All right, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, it was the fundraiser at Lakeville Lake this past weekend, and what I think. That weather made it worse than anything because it was cold water.
Right, and it was cold air.
Cold air at the same time.
Yeah.
But the air was only like 45 or 40 degrees. So there was, you know, sometimes in the middle of winter when you do this, it might be, the water might be 32 degrees, but you come out and it's 15 degree weather. And believe it or not, it doesn't feel as cold because you're coming out to warmer weather.
Right.
But boy, I give credit to all these people.
Bunch of big, beefy high school kids. And Patrick Sullivan did note, he said, you know, if they just started an hour earlier, it would have been a little bit warmer, but the wind kicked up, the sun went behind some clouds. But we have these phenomenal photos by Ann Day, who, for reasons that nobody can understand, loves to go to Spring Splash.
But, so and, you, but she did, one of these years, she has to go in.
I will. Next time,
not with her camera.
Next time it's warm, I'll go. With a waterproof camera.
Yeah.
Well, there's a nice picture of that right there.
Excellent pictures.
Now, a thing that might be put in jeopardy after you heard what happened at the Region 1 meeting with the parents, the Region 1 vote on the spending plan comes up May 1st. It's 0% increase, but I do believe it quite possibly could be in jeopardy, believe it or not.
You know, I hate that. I hate to say it, but I do feel like when you vote down a budget, excuse me, I've got a little bit of post-nasal drip today. When you vote down a budget, there's no place for it to go but down. It can only go down, and they've already cut a lot. They're cutting the German program. They're phasing it out, which people are upset about already. So if you vote down this budget, the only thing that can happen is spending has to be cut further.
Nope.
And I would say, in my experience, everybody knows that the parents don't like the superintendent and some of the things that are happening with administration in the region. I think they're making a pretty clear statement, and I think that if you vote, I mean, sorry to be opinionated on here, people should do what they want, but the vote is coming up on the Region 1 spending plan, which includes the high school special services, the central office, of course, which is the superintendent's office, and the pupil services central office, and Hoosie. So
you have to understand people feel hamstringed with all these consent agendas and everything. There's very little information that is being get out now.
Yeah. People should go to their Board of Ed meetings, however, I would like to say.
But they have a consent agendas now where they've narrowed
them
down.
Explain what a consent agenda is.
Consent agenda is they used to have a list of things that they went through.
And discussed.
And discussed. Now with the consent agenda, they don't discuss them. They're discussed ahead of time, and they're approved ahead of time. And the public has no input, like it was with the salary for the new maintenance person at the high school. That was done by consent agenda. Nobody knew any of the particulars.
Well, salaries are freedom of information covered anyway, I believe. Yeah.
But still, it makes it easier if they used to do it like they did in the old days and bring it up in the meetings. A couple of other stories. First of all, we'll go down to the Constitution of the World Today.
Susan Herman, who is the head of the ACLU, came to Cornwall and you know, we get a lot of great speakers in this area, but I think the reason she came was particularly special, which is she was this year's speaker in the Norman Dorson Lecture at the Village Meeting House, which is part of the Cornwall Historical Society, but really which is above all a legacy of the wonderful late, great Norman Dorson, who was also head of the ACLU, who was a very well-known New York University law professor and had participated in some really important benchmark you know, civil rights cases in his very wonderful life. And of course, he was one of our owners. We felt very privileged to be able to sit in meetings with him. He had so much wisdom. He was such a kind man. His daughter was there to introduce Susan Herman, and she gave a talk about really stopping and thinking about what people's rights are and not having a flash reaction to it, which is a good reminder for all of us.
And another another gubernatorial candidate comes to the Northwest Corner.
Yeah, quite a smile, that guy. Oscar Ivel, who is a guy with a big, strong banking background. And, of course, I think a lot of the candidates are really focusing on the condition of the budget and Hartford and how they're managing money, and that is his thing. And, you know, very particular issues that are of interest to him. And do read Shaw Isaacson's story, which is coverage. We've been doing coverage of all the gubernatorial candidates who've been speaking at the Winsted Community Bookstore, which is an incredible service that they're providing.
The Lorax comes back for Earth Day.
Yes, it's Earth Day is coming up April 22nd, and of course the annual Goshen Plant Sale, 20th, 21st, 22nd, and Bernie Drew writing about the Lorax and its sort of subtle message ahead of its time about, well, you know, not ahead of its time, because, you know, even as a child growing up in the 60s, we were all very Earth-oriented, but the Lorax, Dr. Seuss's story, reminding us about our need to protect our planet.
You know, I love on page A3 the story. Most people don't realize that the center of the universe for psychedelic drugs was Millbrook, New York.
Yeah, and
it all emanated out of there, ladies and gentlemen.
Right?
Well,
conservative state. It did.
I guess we could give California some credit.
Well, I actually lived in California. I didn't live in Millbrook. Yeah, but I was there.
Yeah. But Millbrook is where he became famous.
So this is actually a story we picked up from our Militant News. It was written by Judith O'Hara Balfe. Excuse me, she went to a talk, a history talk, with a New York State historian and some people who had been involved legally with Timothy Leary and his crew, his happy band, and kind of documents, you know, in a very no rosy glasses kind of way, the deterioration from, you know, sort of a cool experimental, like, you know, let's find a way to sort of open our souls up, our mind up to the universe, and how it sort of degenerated into traffic jams and fires and some unsavory behavior and the eventual end of Timothy Leary's time in Millbrook. Interesting story.
And the Moody Blues even have a song about it.
About Millbrook?
Timothy Leary's dead.
Oh, Timothy Leary's dead, that's right.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's very good, very good.
I'm on a Moody Blues kick right now.
All right. Birds and fish soar and swim at the library
this
in Norfolk.
This guy's a biologist. His name is Bradford Robinson, and he's got this very actually legitimately cool show of mobiles that he made with different animals from the air and the water, and it's at the Norfolk Library, and I think it's only there till May 2nd, so you might want to hurry over and see it. And of course, they're reasonably priced, and a portion of every sale goes to the library.
All right, we've got the Best of Area Arts show at the Northwest Connecticut Arts Council's Open Eye, Ear Eye Studio Tour.
That's right. That's going to be at Noble Horizons, and there's been some very interesting artists over the years. And a long list just of people in our towns, which is in that little news release, but that's coming up. The show is opening April 13th, and it's up for, I think, until June 30th.
No, okay, now, I love those two stories that are side by side, The Passions of Walt Whitman and The Joys of Learning Yiddish.
You know, Ann and I were going to go to The Joys of Learning Yiddish, and it got snowed out. We were annoyed about it. But and, you know, I thought it was just going to be basic, like the stuff I would hear around my house growing up. But apparently, you know, it's a fairly serious class. And you can read in that press release what they're actually talking about, and they're going to do fun exercises and sing songs, but it is for adults and people of all ages, and that is in Winsted. And then my friend, William Kinsolving, who I'm going again for the second reading of his one-man play about Walt Whitman, which he actually developed for an actor friend of his, and he's kind of taking it on the road, and he's testing it out and revising it as he does it. So if you went to the first Walt Whitman production, you probably will see a slightly different version this time, but it should be fun, and there's no reservation, so come early. Scoville Library on Saturday at 4 o'clock.
All right. On page A4, you've got the Housatonic Student of the Week, Molly Dowd.
Molly Dowd is all over this issue. She's also going to be on the sports page, and we'll talk about her when we get there. But, you know, as we often see with these really these outstanding students at the high school, is that they're very good in academics, they're very good in sports, and that especially, I think, the participation on a team really teaches them some leadership skills.
All right. Literary superhero visits Sharon Center School.
Mark Tyler Nobleman writing about subjects that are of interest to kids and adults alike, which is superheroes. And he talked a lot to students at Sharon Center School, where he spent the entire day. And also he went to Indian Mountain School. Talked a lot about research and about being dogged in your research and not just doing the surface level, but really sort of digging deep and the surprises that you find, that you unearth the little treasures as you really put some elbow grease into it.
All right. And hey, we can't forget, it's an important part of our life. Art at the Dump coming up in Cornwall, the 21st through the 22nd.
Part of my life.
No,
very
really.
Important.
It really is. It's unbelievable.
One of the best art shows of the year, in my opinion. I never miss it. Gail Jacobson, who's one of my personal heroes, does a phenomenal job with creating beautiful art out of recycled things. And so she is a very sharing person. She started Art at the Dump when her husband used to come home and say, when the transfer station manager's name was Art, she goes, you know what Art at the Dump said? So in honor of Earth Day, every year at Cornwall at the transfer station, they have a show of work of all recycled items turned into everything from handbags to mobiles to decoupage plates. It's a really great sale, and a portion of the proceeds go to the Cornwall Consolidated School Art Department.
All right. Then, of course, you've got the pictures of the Spring Splash, but a great story on the Wildcats, 19-3-1 season.
So this, again, is Molly Dowd, also, Genevieve Bushy and Anna Tittman, who got up at, you know, spent long hours on the road going to take part in this regional co-op hockey team, which had students from Suffield, Enfield, Housatonic, Ellington High School, and the Metropolitan Learning Center in Bloomfield. And they, even though they had never played before, even though, unlike many of our local teams, they didn't grow up knowing each other, they immediately bonded over their love of hockey and had a great season, a 17-game shutout, and a great story by John Torsiello, and we're very proud of our young women and what they've learned.
All right, I want to go to Beer Recreation on Tap at the brewery.
Boy, there are a lot of breweries coming up, and we're looking forward to the one opening in North Canaan. There's already one in Kent, and this one is in Colebrook, and it's called the Norbrook Brewery. Two brothers bought a 472-acre farm and have hired a brewmaster, Colin Cohen, and he's brewing an IPA and a Saison, and they're planning to be brewing 15 barrels worth of beer. I think that's, they said it's 1,000 barrels of beer a year. And in addition, they're going to be having an outdoor activity center, which I think is kind of fun and wholesome. I mean, not everybody has a beer and then just passes out. A lot of people have a beer after they've gone running or after they've gone kayaking or after they've gone hiking. So I think they're creating a perfect environment for that.
Isn't it kind of strange, though, all the breweries and marijuana dispensaries that are going to be popping up? It's just a little bit of the sign of the times.
Yeah. Everyone needs to relax.
We go from Timothy Leary to
this. I want to go on to the picture that you have on A7. Because the Ragamuffin House has been sold and it will become just a residence.
Yes, the lovely Kathy and Michael Volstead, two extremely nice people. Kathy, some people may know her from the meditation classes she teaches at the library. And I had asked them, you know, are you going to be doing some kind of, you know, classes there? Because Pete Hathaway, when he owned it, at one point had it as a sober house. And she said, no, you know, we have children and grandchildren and we're just turning it into a private residence. But it's a beautiful property. And I just bet in their backyard Kathy's going to do something interesting, some kind of meditation classes. But we will see what happens. I think they have some renovation to do. Pete Hathaway made it gorgeous. But I think that they'll want to turn it into their own house a little bit.
I remember the Ragamuffin House with terrific German food. Oh,
yes.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah. Barbara, Rolf and Barbara.
I forget now.
But what was
it? It was just terrific. Oh, well, anyways.
Oh, it was good.
Memories.
All right.
We'll stay in Salisbury where the state funds hopefully will pay for upgrades with the revival of the LOSIP program.
Yes, it's been a very nice, compared to last year, which was just such a horrible year. You know, all of our towns are still working very hard to keep their budgets down. there's still a lot of kooky stuff going on in terms of Tons looking for ways to increase their grant list, but I would say this is a big sigh of relief this year after last year. And as a Salisbury resident, I went to the Salisbury budget presentation on Monday night, and boy, that's a town that's, you know, it's nice to live there. They've got a lot of organizations and schools and nonprofits that actually do support the town in many ways.
All right, in Kent, guest residences, home industry are all impacted by proposed new rules.
So they've redone their zoning regulations, and I do always say to people, you have to watch your zoning regulations, because more than anything else, that determines what your town is going to look like moving into the future. And the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission, John Johnson, did say, you know, it used to be we were trying to stop people from doing stuff, and now we're really trying to be proactive and look into the future and say, this is what we want our town to look like. And that is the reason why the state requires our towns to do a town plan and upgrade it every 10 years to say, here's what we want our town to look at. So they're looking at how people are using their town, how they're living in their town. There's a lot of home industry coming up, and so they've changed the regulations slightly to make it easier for people to have a business in their home. There's specifics in this article about what does and doesn't fly, but also in this age of Airbnb, like, you know, an opportunity for you to have up to 6 paying guests in your house and not have to have special permitting, which should drive some inn owners crazy, but will be good for Airbnb owners and other B&B owners.
Well, I noticed on the obituary page, Wally Chase's mother, a good friend of mine, passed away. But Al Dietzel, who I met about 10 years ago, and I met him at the time, and I do believe he was just around 80 years old, so it might have been 6 or 7 years ago. But he was going skydiving the next day. And he was starting a new business, and he was recording videos for it. One of the most energetic guys I've ever seen in my life. And anybody who knew Al Dietzel knew what a great guy he was.
That's nice. And, you know, that's one thing about the obituaries page. People often sort of say, oh, that's a well-known person, you know, but everybody on this page is well-known to somebody.
And he worked with young people almost right up to the end. Just a real good guy.
Well, that's a good model for the rest.
Yeah.
A good model for the rest
of
us, Janet just said.
Now, you've got a good story here, and because...
All of our stories are good, Marshall.
No, but this is really good because it involves the horrible things called ticks, and you've got a long story on avoiding ticks, because it's better to avoid than have to remove.
Patrick Sullivan, a man who spends much of his time outdoors and knows quite a bit about nasty things crawling onto your skin. Patrick, who always writes short but wrote very long in this article, he went to a talk on how to avoid ticks, which, as Marshall said, is much better to avoid them than it is to get them. But, of course, there's also instructions there on what to do if you find one on your skin. Very interesting story. I definitely read it at this time of year.
A nice story by Patrick Sullivan also about the healthcare, Northwest Hills Prevention Connection.
You know, we often have health cares in this area, and, you know, you go and you get your blood pressure taken or you get, you know, whatever. But this is really a very interesting job fair at Housatonic about jobs in the healthcare industry, which is a huge job opportunity for young people growing up here. And, of course, Janet, does the Rotary still have that special program that assists in education for nurses?
I believe they do.
So there's a lot of support for people who want to go into healthcare. And, of course, as we have an aging population, you know, what a great industry to go into.
All right, I want to go on to the opinion page where you've got an editorial on what we talked about last week.
Right, which is...
I love your title, Unnecessary Crisis. Yep.
Yeah, it just is all very regretful, and we felt that we did have to weigh in on Elizabeth Estey's situation because it wasn't too long ago she had visited the Northwest Corner and visited the paper, and we did an editorial about how well she was doing as far as her legislation and cooperation in a bipartisan way went. You know, and certainly we acknowledge that she has many good qualities, but in this situation of handling this personnel matter, she fell far short, and we discussed that and make a suggestion to her.
And interesting, the letters on the Bears, and one letter even on Bears and Wolves.
Yes, exactly. You know, and this is a good example of you never know what's going to really engage people. And this, the bear hunt, which has now, you know, not gone forward in the legislature, but it comes up every year. And when, you know, that it is worthy of discussion. We have gotten a lot of opinions on the bear hunt and what should be done or not be done. But, yeah, don't miss Spencer Reese's letter about National Wolf Watcher Coalition.
And Malcolm Brown's letter on Kier and what's going on there, they met this week, and we'll know in a couple of weeks what's going to happen with the 501c3 designation.
Exactly. And, yeah, Malcolm is certainly following this closely, long experience in the medical community here, and was once director at Gear, so, you know, really does care deeply about this, as many of us do.
And Peter Steiner. I like Peter Steiner's cartoon.
Yes. We love having Peter's opinion and visual on our pages, along with our writers.
All right. Okay. We only have about 3 minutes left, so I do want to get to Compass. This is you. Step to the stage here, Ann.
Okay, Marshall. We have a very exciting issue of Compass. There's a beautiful show down at the KMR Gallery in Washington Depot. It's an artist called Kim Kiever who makes these constructions in a huge, I think, 200-gallon aquarium, and then photographs them. But when you look at them, you really think you're looking at a painting, a surreal painting of an underwater fantasy. Anyway, they're beautiful, and you should go see it. We have a review of by Leon Graham of Isle of Dogs, and Leon is a dog lover. And it's a Wes Anderson film where he uses animation and creates a world where the dogs are in charge, and it's full of big movie stars with doing the voices, like Scarlett Johansson, Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, Harvey Keitel, and Edward Norton. Anyway, it's at the movie house, I believe, right now, so go see it. We also have a good show at Hotchkiss by Gala Nerezzo, and she's a photographer. It's really not photography purely. It's collage, and she also uses pieces of paper with writing on it in her work. The show is up. She's going to be artist in residence this coming week at Hotchkiss, and she works with people about their identity and how to create art that reflects your identity. We have some small pieces that talk about the upcoming dance season in Tivoli at Katzbahn. I hope I said that right.
Katzbahn,
I get
yeah.
a lot of emails from them that I've never spoken.
It's Katzbahn.
Katzbahn, okay. And then we have a jazz concert at Bard on April 21st, and there's a piece about that jazz musician whose name is Damian Sneed. And we also have a piece by Shaw about the radio program, which is airing on WHDD, Marshall.
Yes.
And that'll be, what, every Saturday?
Every Saturday, and also it's
Monday
at 7 p.m., yeah.
Yeah, Shaw went and spent some time with them while they were rehearsing. So he's written the piece really from the inside of the radio studio. Then we have a book review of a book by Andrea Barnett, and she will be at the White Hart this week on the 19th of April at 7 or 6 o'clock. I'm not sure. Check the website for the Oblong Books presents at the White Hart. And the book, am I finished?
Well, you've got about another 40 seconds.
Okay. The book is called Visionary Women, and it's about four women who changed the world, and those four women are Rachel Carson, Jane Jacobs, Jane Goodall, and Alice Waters. And that's it.
Funny you mentioned that. When I was a kid, Rachel Carson, my father made us read Silent Spring.
Hmm.
When I was 1959, 1960. He made us as kids, and if we didn't read it and didn't understand, he explained it to us.
Wow.
There would be no birds because of the pollution of the toxics.
Right.
An amazing book, way ahead of its time.
All
right.
Good job, everybody.
Thank you.
We will speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Yeah, of course, tricornernews.com. Also, they're on Facebook as well. And you can find this rebroadcast at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on, of course, This Week in the Lakeville Journal.